I'm Afshin Rutansi and welcome to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the heart of a Middle East that hosted peace talks that could finally end the NATO proxy war on Russia through Ukraine and avert World War III. Donald Trump said afterwards that Ukraine should never have started the war. Predictably, the response from European elites ahead of elections in its most powerful economy, Germany, tomorrow, has been panic, chaos and a re-evaluation of their status as satrapies of Washington since the end of the Second World War and the formation of NATO. Trump's vice president, J.D. Vance, slammed Europe's lack of freedom to incomprehension from European NATO members at the Munich Security Conference. Sir Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister and persecutor of Julian Assange, immediately proposed sending thousands of UK soldiers to fight Russia. This, as it was revealed, that 3 out of 4 of the elderly in Britain cannot afford to heat their homes. It has truly been NATO, a reckoning with the Atlantic Alliance. And that's the new title of the new book by a member of the German Bundestag and foreign policy spokesperson for the Sarah Wagenknecht Alliance, Sevim Dadlan. She joins me again from Berlin. Sevim, thanks so much for coming on. Before I even get to your book and to peace in our time, perhaps, but a real peace, what happened as regards Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur on Palestine? She was in Germany, I understand. You met her. As regards the UK-US-EU armed genocide in Gaza?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, of course, what J.D. Vance did as a vice president of the United States is interfering into the interior affairs of Germany and disrespecting the sovereignty of the Federal Republic of Germany. Of course, the German government, the actual one and the former ones, they did it also. Interfere in the electoral campaign, Harris versus Trump, and say they favor Harris. So I really judge them as well. But I do think we should respect the sovereignties of the countries. First of all, the second thing is J.D. Vance.
Wait. What happened as regards? Are you referring to J.D. Vance insulting Europe for its lack of free speech?
And his speech at the Munich Security Conference, because you mentioned this. And it's true that he has a point on this, because we have a lack of freedom of press, freedom of speech in the in German society, especially in the last years. We could observe it during the pandemic period. Everyone who criticized in Germany the measures which were very much violating our human rights, our fundamental rights, according to our constitution, they put them into a very defamed them as far right and so on. And now we do have an attack on freedom of speech, the freedom of gathering together and protest regarding Israel, because the unconditional support of the German government regarding the Israeli war in the Gaza Strip, in sending weapons, in helping them militarily, but also in an economic and political way, and the raison d'être, the Staatsraison policy, this has such an outcome that everyone who is criticizing the very far-right extremist government of Netanyahu in Israel, they say this is anti-Semitism. And this is the problem. And in the German parliament, they passed bills and motions from the Christian Democrats, the Social Democrats, the Green, the Liberals, and even the left party in Germany. We as Sarah Wagenknecht Alliance, we were the only one who opposed these bills and motions. In these motions, it says that everyone is criticizing, almost everyone is criticizing the Israeli government is an anti-Semite, and that's why we have to forbid their lectures at the universities. We have to punish school people in the schools when they are criticizing the Israeli government, and also cut the funds of in theaters of actors and so on. So it is a very big attack on freedom of speech in Germany.
At tomorrow's elections in Germany, Sunday's elections in Germany, you're the only party who really respects free speech and a kind of American First Amendment.
Well, unfortunately, it is so. In November last year and in February this year, these parties passed these bills. And we say this is a very big attack on freedom of speech and also the freedom of science, because it is an attack on the universities, at the universities. And this is, for example, the reason why Francesca Albanese, I really do like her very much. I had her in the German parliament and I gave her the possibility, I welcomed her to come and do the lecture in the German parliament, because I do believe that this is also a disrespect to the United Nations. I mean, she is not anybody. She is a special rapporteur of the United Nations, and everyone who is always saying and talking about international order, international law, has to respect the special rapporteur of the United Nations, from my perspective.
But if that happened in the week of the leading up to the elections, obviously democracy only exists if there is free speech. Are the elections in Germany this week fair, given you don't have freedom of speech in Germany? It is literally like J.D. Vance, Trump's vice president, was saying.
Well, I have to admit that we do have some problems with the German media as well. So because we have more and more shrinking spaces in the public regarding mainstream versus different opinions. But we had this in the past year is not just it's an actual situation regarding Israel-Palestine. We had this 3 years ongoing war against different opinions regarding the war in Ukraine. Everyone who was in favor of negotiations stopped to kill the people, doesn't matter, Ukrainians or Russians, stopped the killings, end the war, and have peace in Ukraine. Everyone was defamed as Kremlin party, Kremlin puppets, Putin assets, and so on, and especially our party, because BSW, Sarah Wagenknecht Alliance, was founded. I mean, we split from the left party because they did leave all the positions on peace. They were in favor, some of them, of weapon deliveries to Ukraine. They were in and are still in favor of sanctions against Russia, which are harming the German industry and the German people, but not the Russian industry, as we know. So we split because we were, from the beginning, the only party who were in favor of negotiations and to end the war, and also against the NATO expansion, which is the cause of this conflict. And I very welcome that the new president of the United States, Donald Trump, sees this cause of this conflict and says there is no perspective of NATO membership for Ukraine.
Well, your foreign minister, maybe not foreign minister next week, who knows, Annalena Baerbock, previously she said she wanted Putin on trial. Suddenly, after Donald Trump said Zelensky is a dictator for not having elections in Ukraine, suddenly she said that actually these negotiations, peace negotiations initiated by Trump, may be useful. Do you think it'll make any difference to this present government at Sunday's election, suddenly coming round to the idea after maybe a million have been killed in Ukraine, suddenly realizing it's okay to have peace talks?
Well, we have to be careful. We have to see how it goes, because, I mean, while Russia and the US are negotiating in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, and also discussing about energy investments and some other economic exchanges, the European Union, the European Commission, the European member states, included the German government, they now decided on a 16th package of sanctions against Russia while the negotiations are going on to end this war. And also the United States said that they want to lift the sanctions, the US sanctions, towards 20 Russian banks. So I think it's just, you know, insanity in Europe, in Brussels, in Berlin, and all over the place here in Europe, who think that they can run this war still, although the U.S. Wants to end this war. So we have to be very careful on this. And the second thing is, I mean, in the saying of Baerbock, you can see that they are all victims of their vassalage to the United States. The United States has their vassals in Europe, in Brussels. Brussels, you know, I mean, the European Commission is an agency of the hegemon of the United States, of the White House. They are just doing what the White House says. And it's the same with the German Minister of Foreign Affairs. I mean, Annalena Baerbock is the best German foreign minister the United States ever had in on German soil. So that makes them as their victims, because they followed 3 years the policy of Joe Biden to militarily and economically ruin Russia. That was the goal of the Biden administration. Now the administration changed, the policy changed, and now they are very opportunistic, as you can see, in changing the positions because they have to follow their hegemon, United States. And that makes it very difficult and dangerous for Europe, because we as Europeans have to understand our interests are not the same like the interests of the United States. I mean, I am really glad and delighted that the new government wants to stop the war and the killing in the United States, because they did start this this killing in Ukraine. But the problem is they want us to pay the bill of this US-led, NATO-led war in Ukraine, this proxy war against Russia. They want us to pay the bill because they want to focus on their main enemy against China. And this is the problem for us Europeans. As long as we follow the United States in our foreign and security policy, we will be thrown under the bus, as we have seen in the past, for example, the ending of the war in Afghanistan after 20 years. The US Americans, when they left Afghanistan, they didn't even inform their allies, the so-called allies, because actually they do not want allies. The U.S. is just interested in vessels. As Henry Kissinger once stated, we don't have enemies, we don't have friends, we just have interests.
Sevim Dadlan, I'll stop you there. More from Germany, Sarah Wagenknecht, Alliance Foreign Policy Spokesperson and author of NATO, A Reckoning with the Atlantic Alliance, after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the member of the German Bundestag and author of NATO, A Reckoning with the Atlantic Alliance, Sevim Dadlan. Sevim, at the end of part one, you were talking about the vassalage of European states. I do want to get onto your amazing book, NATO, Reckoning with the Atlantic Alliance. You were referring earlier to, I suppose, the lack of education in Europe about how they are vassal states. And in your book, you refer to something called cognitive warfare. I know ahead of tomorrow's elections in Germany, you have amazing media concentration. Of course, thanks to Trump and Elon Musk, we now know the links to Axel Springer and Bertelsmann to inside the State Department. There have been all sorts of allegations now from Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. What is cognitive warfare, as outlined in your latest book?
You know, we know we do have three myths of the NATO. The myths of the NATO, where it defines itself as an alliance of defense, of international law, of values, and of democracies. And this is something I was trying to deconstruct in the book, but also in our time, wars are not just won by militarily in the country where the war is taken over, but also in the homeland. You have to win the heads and the hearts of the people for doing this war. And that's why NATO, for example, has this college in Rome, in Italy, And they are planning and organizing and networking how they're trying to attack the heads of the people and the hearts of the people to win them for the war. You know, our common friend Julian Assange, the journalist, once stated that people do not want war. It's just the media who wins them because of lies for wars and to promote the wars. And this is the aim of the cognitive war of a concept of the NATO. They try to have a network of lecturers at the universities, of think tanks, of media, and trying to put their narratives like we do have actually in Germany. For example, I just want to tell you, in since 2 years' time, they are always in the mainstream media trying to impose the people that Russia is a threat and Russia is going to attack the NATO country, Germany. And in 4 years' time, for example, the defense ministers is saying, and all the influencers of the NATO, and trying to put this narrative into the heads of the people. And as we can see, according to polls, a lot of people believe this narrative, although the military expenditures of the NATO states only in Europe are 480 billion, and the whole budget of the national budget of Russia is 400 billion. So there's no point that Russia could militarily, you know, be a threat to the NATO member states in Europe or to the whole NATO, but they try to put this into the head. And that's the problem of the mainstream media, who is really very much in the hands of these NATO narratives.
Except that, in fairness to Chancellor Scholz, even he said Keir Starmer of Britain's idea of sending in thousands of European troops to attack Russia after the Trump peace plan goes into action, he didn't like that idea at all. So presumably in Germany, the idea of sending German soldiers into Ukraine is not an option. The minds in Germany are not as controlled as they are in Britain.
Well, I mean, we know that the Britons are very much more aggressive. We have seen this with this ugly piece of Prime Minister Boris Johnson in the spring 2022, when he and the United States of the U.S. administration of Biden torpedoed the peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine in Istanbul, for example, because they don't care about lives and human beings. They just care about their own interests against Russia. And but the problem is with sending troops. Our experience with the German chancellor is that he says something and then later on he forgets what he said. So he had a lack he has an amnesia. That's a political problem of him. And I do believe that they are waiting till the elections, the national elections on the 23rd of February, because we had this discussion before a few months ago. It was it occurred that that they are thinking in behind the scenes about sending German troops on Ukraine soil to the border of Russia if there is a ceasefire once between Russia and Ukraine. And this was now Mr. Hegseth, the defense minister of the United States. He said it in his speech in Munich, and this is a very poisoned a proposal, because it's from my point of view, it's a disaster if it would happen, because the border is almost 2,000 kilometers and which has to be watched out with the troops. That means 150 or 200,000 troops has to be there. And I mean, regarding our German history, it would mean that sending German troops to watch this ceasefire, and if the ceasefire is broken, German troops would be in war against Russia, and they would shoot to Russian soldiers. I mean, we had the history of the Second World War where we attacked Russia and Russia, the Soviet Union. We attacked the Soviet Union and they liberated the Europe from German fascism. So I can't believe that something like this could happen. And that's why maybe they hesitating at the moment. But we don't know what they're going to do, because as what we know is that the German government, and it doesn't matter which party is ruling, they are vassals of the United States. And if the United States wants them to send the troops, I believe that they're going to do this, and this would be very, very a disaster.
The video link keeps going down. I don't know whether that's your German government already trying to censor this conversation. Who knows? Except, of course, if they are a vassal state, they should obey the new orders from Donald Trump, arguably. If their masters are Washington, I suppose the point is you're saying it's a kind of deep state in Washington, not Donald Trump, clearly, or Lieutenant Colonel Tulsi Gabbard. In your book, you talk about constant destabilization of Europe since the Second World War. You mentioned Italy. I don't know whether Prime Minister Meloni will close down the NATO Defence College you write about in the book. Just remind us, as we come to an end here, how many US soldiers are occupying Germany right now, and what tomorrow's election mean for Ramstein Base, Grunwald Base, Heidelberg, Spangdahlem. Your country is full of, 100,000 United States soldiers occupying your country, but they could go under Trump, of course.
Well, officially, we do have 40,000 on German soil, U.S. troops, but we do have in Europe officially more than 100,000. And the new administration of Trump, they announced that they're going to pull back 20,000, so they are going to leave 80,000. But it doesn't matter, actually. The problem is all the bases, you know, we do have a full of bases. I mean, it's a Federal Republic of Germany is actually aircraft carrier of the United States Army. When you see the map of the bases here, and not only the bases, also the CIA with their surveillance, the mass surveillance here, and the drone strikes with the relay station on the Ramstein bases, for example. So it's much more than just the troops. I do believe we don't need these U.S. troops. Our position of the Sahara-Warnknecht Alliance is that they should pull out their soldiers, send them back home to the United States, and take with them the nuclear bombs, which are still on German soil here, officially just 20, but who knows, because the German government is not sovereign enough to control their own German soil, what's going on here on German soil or not. So we don't know if this is true with the 20 nuclear bombs. But I mean, welcome if they would leave. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have good relations to the superpower United States. I believe, and my party, we do believe that we do need good relations to all superpowers and the upcoming powers. I mean, that means to Russia, to China, to United States, but also to Brazil, to India, to South Africa, to Indonesia. We need good relations because of our geographic situation in Europe, and we do need a policy of good neighborhood with Russia. You know, you can't change the geography. Russia is part of Europe and will be part of Europe in the future. And that's why we believe we need a new policy, European security and foreign policy, which is sovereign, which is independent from the United States. So we don't need the troops, but we just want to have good relations to all the powers.
Which, ironically, is the Trump policy, just finally, for the Sahara-Wagenknecht Alliance. Just finally, remind us, and this will be the issue upon which the election will be won for different members of parliament on Sunday. Describe the amount of poverty that is affecting Germany, the Nord Stream pipeline destroyed by the CIA under Joe Biden, affecting energy supplies, causing inflation in your country. How much more prosperous can Germany be, and more equal a country can it be if it if it takes on your policies of the Sahara Wagon Connect Alliance?
Just let me tell you one thing before, because you said it is the Trump administration action. Yes, but we see the Trump administration very diverse. I mean, we are welcoming that he wants to end the war, but we know he is not a peace angel. He is not a pacifist that he wants to stop all the wars, all the ongoing wars. He wants to concentrate on his main enemy, China, our second largest economy partner, trade partner, and he wants us to follow him. And this is something which is very dangerous, because we stopped the economic trade relations with Russia, which was one of the causes of the German prosperity because of cheap energy. And now we are going to do the same mistake if we follow the confrontation policy of the United States against China, our second largest trade partner. And we also see that Trump is going to make an ethnic cleansing in the Gaza Strip against the Palestinians, which is a violation of international law. It's a violation against humanity, and we have to stop this policy of the United States.
Well, we're going to end it there. We got to end it there. Good luck tomorrow. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Dadalan, thank you. That's it for the show, and NATO, a reckoning with the Atlantic Alliance, is out now. We'll be back on Monday with the man tipped by Elon Musk to be the next boss of the US Federal Reserve, veteran congressman, former presidential candidate and libertarian icon, Dr. Ron Paul. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV, on rumble.com to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.